What's up, fuckers? Yes, I am still alive. So not to start tangenting right away, because I have three things I want to talk about in this episode, but to start tangenting right away, I got up early this morning. I've been doing stuff around the house. You may hear some pauses in this. I'm installing Windows on my new gaming computer, so I may need to walk over there and restart the computer and shit. You will deal with it. But I organized some comic books this morning and ate some steak, and I'm drinking some Dos Equis. I think I'm on number 5 or 6 or something. I started drinking at about 07:30 this morning because I've been awake since 04:30. And I've also been catching up on the Dick Show. So I've been blasting through Dick Show episodes pretty much since I got up. And I'm way behind. And I just got to the episode, whenever it was, right after Andrew Tate got arrested. And if you listen to the Dick Show, or I've probably maybe mentioned this before, Dick had Cobra Tate on the Dick Show a long time ago, before Cobra Tate exploded. And Dick has been kissing Cobra's ass for, I mean, not as a kid, but praising him and yada yada and saying nice things about him. And Dick comes on the Dick Show on the episode I'm listening to right now, which is right after Cobra has been arrested, and has just instantly turned on the man. He's making fun of how Cobra has no chin. He's making fun of how Cobra talks about playing chess all the time. He talks about how Cobra talks like he has a dick in the mouth. I mean, it's fascinating to me how for all these literally Hitler years, Dick has held Cobra up as, I mean, I'm not saying he's put him on a pedestal or even kissed his ass, even though I started saying that. But he's said good things about him. He's had him on the show. He's been like, yeah, Cobra there, Cobra. And Cobra gets arrested, which I still don't know what the fuck Cobra actually got arrested for. I mean, sex trafficking. Okay, if people get arrested for sex trafficking, then every fucking woman should be arrested for sex trafficking because their entire life is them exchanging sex for other stuff, right? I still don't know what Cobra even got arrested for. But Dick just instantly turns on the guy and starts attacking him and ridiculing him and making fun of him. Like, what a fucking pussy. So anyhow, there's that. There's my tangenting. We got that out of the way. Here's the first thing I want to throw out. The war or the publicity stunt or the marketing campaign, whatever it is, I don't know what it is. Just like I don't know why Cobra Tate got arrested. I suppose I could Google it. I could type something into Google. Why was Cobra Tate arrested? I could believe the first link that comes up. This, whatever it is that's going on in Ukraine, because I can't figure out, is it a war? Is it a police action? Is it an advertising campaign? I don't know. I saw something, I glanced at it, I didn't read it in depth. Just this morning over at Daily Stormer about this, about how the Ukraine military, they've got a apparently, people in the Ukraine military. Okay, my people. All right, let me back up. Now, I'm not completely drunk, but I am a little bit buzzed, just in case you're wondering. Men in the Ukraine military are, this is going to be shocking to you, men are having sex with women. I know. Some of you right now, oh my God, great one. I have the vapors. I have to sit down. I have to catch my breath. I know. You're shocked. men in the Ukraine military are fucking women in the Ukraine military. Now, it never occurs to anyone that women shouldn't be in the military. But so this is, you know, this is the crisis of the moment that's happening over there. I don't know what the fuck is going on over there. That's why I don't have a very strong opinion on it, because it baffles me. The whole thing baffles the fuck out of me. One thing I'm wondering is, why are the Russians taking so long to wrap this up? According to something I saw, the population of Ukraine has plummeted between people leaving and people getting killed and all this other stuff. And I mean, how long can Ukraine hold out? And so I'm sitting here and just in my brain, and this is not necessarily a complete thought. I'll tell you that right now. This is like a thought fragment. I don't know exactly where this leads. Maybe you do, as I'm just throwing this out because somebody out there might be smarter than me. So I'm thinking about this. We've got Russia, and they have invaded Ukraine. Ukraine is this tiny little country with a limited population and limited resources. Russia is this ginormous country with a lot of people and a lot of resources. Why in the fuck is this war still going on? Now, some people that I have listened to have said that Russia is progressing cautiously through the war and holding back because they're trying to do a minimal amount of damage. And some have said it's because they have like limited objectives. They want to take certain parts of Ukraine territory and make them back into Russia, but they don't want all of it. Once again, I don't know. This shit could be true. Could not. I don't know. I'm just curious. Why is this still happening? How has Russia not wrapped this up yet? Now, so I'm thinking about this in my brain, right? Because when you're the great one, this is what you do. You do this thing called thinking. And I thought, well, there have been similar arguments made when both Russia and the United States invaded Afghanistan. We thought, what's Afghanistan? How long can it take to invade Afghanistan? We found out that for the United States, it took 20 years to invade Afghanistan, at the end of which the United States ran away, abandoning billions of dollars of expensive military equipment because we got our asses kicked by goat herders with AK-47s. I don't remember how long the Soviet Union was in Afghanistan before they got their asses kicked, but I seem to remember, my memory tells me it was a significantly long time. So I start thinking, well, is it possible that Ukraine is just another Afghanistan? And I don't think it is, and here's why. In Afghanistan, you don't have, well, and I'm not an expert on Afghanistan. Maybe the shit I'm about to say is wrong. I don't know. In Afghanistan, I don't think you have a centralized government with a unified military that encompasses all the military forces of that country, which is then fighting against the invaders, be it the Soviet Union or be it the United States, you know, under a centralized command. You had just a bunch of random groups of people with AK-47s and goats who were doing whatever they could do within their limited geographical region, and they weren't taking orders from somebody up high, giving everyone orders with some specific goal or some specific military objective in mind, right? It was a decentralized resistance as opposed to an organized military. And a decentralized resistance is a lot more difficult to overcome than an organized military. Because if you've got an organized military, all you got to do is get the motherfucker in charge to surrender, and everybody has surrendered. If you have a decentralized resistance, nobody can surrender for everyone. And as far as I know, the advertising campaign in the Ukraine is not a decentralized resistance. They have an organization which is masquerading as an organized military, which has, of course, women and probably some homosexuals in it. And they're taking their orders from this Zelensky, not the pig that Adam Piggott is going to eat, but Zelensky, the other pig, the pig who is a puppet of the Jews. This organized military is taking their orders from the Zelensky pig. So I don't know that, you know, the Afghanistan factor comes into play here. So I'm a little baffled. Why in the hell is this conflict still going on? And I'm sure there's a fuck ton of stuff written on the internet about this and that answers this question. And I'm sure that there's probably 20 or 30 different opinions as to why. Everything from, you know, the Russians are being cautious because they don't want to hurt any more people than necessary, which I think is bullshit. Because if you want to hurt the minimum number of people in war, well, then you go in, you strike hard, you strike fast, you blow up as much shit as you need to blow up to get what you fucking want, and then you stop. The more you prolong it, the more people are going to die. Because more people are going to die from non-combat reasons. More people are going to die because they don't have clean water. More people are going to die because they can't get medical care. More people are going to die because they don't have electricity for refrigeration of their food, right? More people are going to die from secondary causes than they are going to die from being shot or blown up in the war, right? It's like the hoaxdemic. More people are going to die from the vaccine than died from the flu, which was being called the Wuhan virus in an attempt to scare people. And then on the other hand, you're going to have the people saying, well, the reason the Russians haven't won the war yet is because the brave Ukrainians are fighting back so valiantly, so hard, and they're going to defeat Russia. Look, Ukraine, and again, Afghanistan defeated Russia. Afghanistan defeated the United States. So you would say, why can't Ukraine defeat Russia? I'm telling you why. Because Afghanistan was decentralized resistance. Ukraine has a state. It has a government. It has this chain of command. It has a military force that ultimately takes all its orders from the person at the top. Those are two completely different systems. And thus I come back to, I'm still baffled as to why the hell Russia hasn't wrapped this up yet. Because they're not dealing with goat herders with AK-47s. I mean, they're dealing with a quote-unquote modern military, which means they have bureaucracy, they have paperwork, they have supply chains that can be disrupted. They can't function without their cell phones and the internet. They have women, they have homosexuals, they have trannies, they have fat people. Right? I don't think the goat herders in Afghanistan had any of that stuff. They may have had some cell phones, but like if you went up to that goat herder with the AK-47 and seven goats, and you took his cell phone away from him and smashed it with a hammer, he would shoot you. Whereas if you go to the Ukraine and you find one of these fucking like fat, effeminate Ukrainian soldiers and you take away his cell phone and you smash it with a cell phone, you smash it with a hammer. I guess you could try smashing it with a cell phone. You smash it with a hammer, he's just going to start crying. So I'm still really baffled. If any of you out there are listening, if you have an idea on why or a link to something that explains this, you think makes sense, I'm interested in opinions. Why in the hell is this war slash conflict slash police action slash advertising campaign slash, you know, feminist homosexual propaganda routine, whatever the fuck is going on over there, why is this still happening? This should be over with. I need a drink of water to wash down the beer. Beer with a water chaser. I have the day off today. It's like 70 degrees outside. And in my mind, I thought, you know, maybe I'm going to go out today and see if I can spot any girls and just spend a little time outside and do outside as in, you know, downtown. Go to a bar, maybe. Go to a restaurant. And then I just decided, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to try to install the shit on this new computer I got. And I'm going to yell at the internet a little bit. And I'm going to play computer games. And I'm going to eat meat. So here's the next thing I've been thinking about. So I've been reading in the times that I've had the chance to get on the internet and read something lately. I've been over at America.org quite a bit lately. Brett writes some really good shit. I don't know if I pimped that site in a while. If I haven't, you should go check it out. America, spelled with a K, America.org. Really good stuff. Brett's really been hitting it hard lately on the diversity thing. Some really good articles on that. And one of the things I like about Brett is his writing. He identifies and talks about, you know, reasons that we have gotten to where we are, which I think is important to understand, because at this point in my lifetime, there will be no redemption. But sometime in the future, there may be an opportunity for what we have may collapse to the extent that there is an opportunity for a new system to be put into place. If and when that, it will happen eventually. If and when that happens, so I shouldn't say if, when that happens, which might be 10 years from now or might be 1,000 years from now, I think it's going to be important to understand why things went wrong so that you can prevent that, right? Okay, if you look at the Constitution of the United States, I can see how at the time the people who wrote that thought that was going to work. In retrospect, right, we look at it and we can see all the holes that evil people found in that Constitution that allow them to bypass it and do evil things. But at the time you're reading the Constitution, it's a 200 years ago or however long ago it was, and you think, yeah, this looks pretty good. This looks pretty solid. There's a multitude of reasons why conservatives or the right or whatever we want to call them, the people who are less leftist compared to me, have lost to the libtards or the liberals or, you know, whatever we want to call them. in this conversation, as I go forward, I will refer to them as liberals and conservatives. And the thing about conservatives, I don't think I'm saying anything here that none of you don't know already. Conservatives are very much into order, right? Conservatives want, well, they want order. They, you can call it law and order, you know, whatever. Conservatives want a structured society, which is good. I agree. A structured society that has order and organization, hierarchy, established laws that are known to everyone. You know, these are good things. The problem with conservatives, when you look at conservatives, they want this order, but they're unable to create the order for themselves. They have to have it imposed upon them. Right, the order has to come from some external source. For conservatives, it's always, well, you know, okay, the government, they'll look at the government, they'll identify problems, but they're still going to be obedient to and loyal to the government, right? And you see this currently most manifested in my thin blue line. Right? Conservatives are all about the police. And as I've pointed out how many times, the police are the ones who are going to come take your guns. But your conservatives, they're thin blue line. Right? The idea that they could defend themselves from crime is beyond them. They want to be defended from crime, but they don't want to do it themselves. They need the government, they need the police, they need the thin blue line to do that for them. And as conservative as they may claim to be, how many of them keep putting their kids in public schools? And you see with conservatives, hang on, I got to hit a button on the computer. So the conservatives, they're all about, oh, my freedoms, and oh, my Second Amendment, and oh, my do what I want, and all this other stuff. But they're still going to be obedient to the government. They're still going to look to my thin blue line, and they're still going to send their kids to public schools. Where the conservatives have it right is the understanding that your society has to have order and organization, and even as much as many people, including anarchists, don't want to hear it, a hierarchy. There's always going to be a hierarchy. Even in Ancapadice, there's still going to be a hierarchy. The hierarchies will be different, they will shift, but there are always hierarchies. You get two or more people together in one place with some sort of a mission, whether it's to build a barn, or whether it's to invade the Ukraine, or whether it's to cut the titties off of a small girl, or whether it's to have sex with eight-year-old boys, you know, whatever it is you're doing, if you have two or more people doing it, a hierarchy is going to form. Right, when Aaron and I go hiking, there's a hierarchy. Most of the time, like, he's in charge and he sets the pace and he chooses the path and I follow him. Occasionally, he'll be like, okay, great one, we're going to do it at your pace today. And then I'll go at the pace and he'll walk slow and it'll drive him insane and it'll be funny. But there, I'm just saying, there's always a hierarchy. Okay? When Adam and I do the greasy pole, there's a hierarchy. I'm in charge on the technical side. He doesn't argue with me, but when we're recording as you've known by now, Adam really kind of sets the tone, and it's more the Adam Piggott podcast than the Great One podcast, which is fine. This, yeah, I'm not complaining. It's totally fine. So there's always a fucking hierarchy. Conservatives sort of get the fact that you need organization and you need hierarchy and you need order. One of the reasons that they have lost the culture war, and in the process of losing the culture war, have allowed Western civilization to be destroyed, is that they seek this order and this organization from institutions that are controlled by their enemies, the government, the public education system, and maybe not to as large of an extent, but still to an extent and to a growing extent, the military and the police forces, where the more and more the diversity and the homo acceptance and everything else is being forced upon them. And thus has my conservatives doomed us all, because they just can't recognize that their enemies are in control of the institutions which conservatives want to be controlled by. And so the lesson to take from this going forward is to understand that when you're looking for organization and hierarchy, you have to approach this with a mind frame of, okay, I want organization and I want hierarchy, and here is, I'm trying to think how to articulate this. Here are the criteria for what is good organization and hierarchy. As opposed to conservatives that look at this and go, well, organization and hierarchy is government and public school and the police, the thin blue line. No. Those are just organizations. Order and hierarchy are things like you don't kill people unless it's self-defense. Women don't have children unless they have a husband. You don't cut the dicks off of small boys. Order and hierarchy are objective criteria. They are empirical facts. Men and women are different. You can get organization and hierarchy from saying men and women are different. And from that, you can make conclusions. You can't, well, you can, but you end up where we are right now. When you say, well, organization and hierarchy comes from public schools. And this is exactly the same argument, or almost exactly the same argument, that we make against God. Okay, so people say, well, God is good, whatever. Okay, well, is good good? So God says, do not kill. All right, well, is God saying do not kill because God just decided that? Because if God just decided that, well, God can change his mind at any moment. Or is God saying do not kill because not killing is an objective right or wrong that exists independent of God? And so if do not kill exist independently of God, you don't need God to tell you that. God is the middleman. And conservatives make the same error here. They're going to this middleman, public education, government, the thin blue line, as opposed to appealing to the actual objective empirical facts. Boys and girls are different. Taxation is theft. And when you go to that middleman, you're at the whim of the middleman. Here's the next thing that crossed my mind the other day. All of these are things that just popped into my brain as I'm walking about in life thinking, which is what conservatives don't really do. Because if they thought, they would figure this stuff out. I'm stealing from Stefan Molyneux a little bit here. And I tried to listen to one of Stefan Molyneux's gay streams a couple of days ago. It was painful. Oh my God, it was painful. I couldn't do it. I literally turned it off. I could not listen to him. He's not as funny as he thinks he is. And he was very repetitive. And it just illustrates why I don't like gay streams. Because here's the thing. Like right now, I'm recording this. It's just me. I'm not live on the internet. I don't have to. You see, okay, everybody in the chat, type Y if you ever wanted to dick up your butt or, you know, whatever it is. And I've said this before. The thing where the gay streamer is interacting with the chat room, it's fun if I'm doing it, but it's not interesting to listen to. And I think another aspect of the gay streaming thing is that because you're live, you feel compelled to constantly talk. Right? It's the fear of dead air. And furthermore, if you lose your train of thought, or you go down a wrong path or something like that, you know, there's no way to salvage it. Whereas when you're recording, like I am now, for broadcast later, like if I decide that this podcast sucks, I just don't put it on the air. Or I can stop and I can start over. I can edit stuff out, whatever. Because I've listened to some other Stefan stuff recently. That was pretty good. And once I get past August, by the way, so if you remember at Weyland-Yutani, November and December, or late October, November, early December, that was my period where my podcasting dropped because I was working my ass off. Well, I can see now, because I've gone through my third summer with this company, it's July and August. Once we get past August, it's going to slow down and I'll be able to get back to normal. But just put this on your calendars, kids. July and August, you're going to get what you get, because it is insane how busy we are. And we're picking it. We got people calling us up. Hey, we were going to do a concert. Can you come do? And you're like, yeah, sure. When's your concert? 2 days from now? It's like, holy fuck, mate. We have work rolling in left and right because it's summer and all the tourists are here and everything's going berserk. So anyhow, July and August. You're going to get what you get, and it's not going to be much. So I'm stealing a little bit from Stefan Molyneux because I got this analogy from him. So let's do this analogy. Because people always say, well, you know, what I do with my children is my business. Doesn't affect you. And Stefan Molyneux made this analogy. He said, well, okay. So let's say you've got this guy and he has a dog. And he beats the dog all the time. And he treats the dog badly. And he trains the dog to be, you know, he makes the dog vicious and angry and fearful. And he trains the dog to like attack animals and things like that. He only feeds it like live animals, and the dog has to attack them and chew it up live. And the dog is abused. And anyone who comes to this man's house, the dog tries to attack them. And you say, well, but it's nobody's business. Well, it's nobody's business until the dog gets out of the house. And then what the dog does is other people's business. And once again, this is why the stupid people say, well, in Capitalism, you're just saying anybody can do anything they want. No, you can't. Well, no, that's not true. You can. In Capitalism, you can do anything you want to do. But in Capitalism, there's no thin blue line to protect you from the consequences. So yes, absolutely. In Capitalism, I can go to my neighbor's house and attempt to rape his 8-year-old son. I can absolutely do that. The problem is there are no police officers to protect me from that 8-year-old boy's father shooting me in the face with an AK-47. Right? That's the everyone. There's no consequences in our society for the worst people. Right? Like if I park too long in a parking spot downtown, I'll get a fucking ticket. There's a consequence for that. Right? But if you're a woman and you lie about being raped and get somebody who didn't rape you put into prison for 20 years, well, there's no consequences for that. So we live in a society where the more of a scumbag you are, the fewer consequences for you there are, especially if you have a vagina or if you're a colored person. Okay, but I'm tangenting. So if you want to do this to your dog, well, that's fine until the dog gets out of the house. At that point, yes, it is everybody's business. Now, furthermore, let's say that this man has done this to this dog, and this dog has become what the dog is. The dog is violent. The dog is aggressive. The dog attacks anybody that attempts to interact with the dog. Right? The dog shits and pisses all over the floor. Is this the dog's fault? Is the dog to blame? Absolutely not. And now I'm taking Stefan's analogy a little bit farther now to get to where I've taken it and where we need to go. The dog is not to blame for any of this. The man who trained the dog, the man who raised the dog, the man who was entrusted with the care of the dog, the man who took it upon himself to do this to the dog, which is maybe a better way of saying it than to say the man who was entrusted. Because entrusted, it's like when somebody brings the dog to you and says, would you take care of this dog? You know, the guy just went out and got a dog. He took it upon himself to do this. He took it upon himself to be responsible for the upbringing of this dog. And this is how he chose to treat the dog and to raise the dog. He molded the dog into what the dog is: violent, aggressive. I know I'm being long-winded. Deal with it. I want to make sure that, because there might be some stupid, remember, half of my listeners are below average intelligence, and it's possible a woman might even listen to this. other than literally Hitler fangirl, and therefore I got to make sure, because this part, this segment here, this is mostly for women, so I've really got to dumb this part down. So just bear, you're going to understand when I get, when we go to the end, okay? This is mostly for women. I really got to dumb this down. The dog holds no responsibility for what that dog has become. Nonetheless, the dog is going to have to be euthanized because the dog cannot be reformed. The dog will continue to be a danger to other people. Now again, if you could find a place to put the dog where the dog would not interact with society anymore, like if you could take the dog way, way out in the wilderness and turn it loose, maybe that's okay. But does the dog breed with the other dogs you've done this to, and does this eventually turn into a pack of wild dogs that is vicious and hostile above and beyond, you know, what dogs or wolves or would normally be? I mean, maybe, maybe not. If you took this dog and you put it out in the wild, maybe it would never mate with anything else. It would die off after a while and it'd be okay. You know, maybe it would mate with a wolf and the aggression would not be as strong in the offspring. You know, who knows? Okay. But the point is, the dog, even though the dog has no blame, the dog is not responsible. Okay. Girls, are you following me? The dog is not responsible for its levels of... And I know all the women are going, rescue doggies. I could rescue the dog. I'd take it in. I'd teach it to not be so aggressive. I'd talk to it about its feelings. Because I went to college for sociology. You know, all... And see, this is the problem. Any women are not hearing anything here other than rescue fur baby. Okay, you're not going to rescue this fur baby. This fur baby is going to bite you in the face. I know you think you can rescue the fur baby, just like he's a drug dealer and he beats me and he rapes me all the time. But it's just because I don't love him enough. I know, girls. I know you're mentally ill. And it's not your fault. It's because men have let you become this way. Here's the, I didn't even think about this and that. This is women. The fucking violent dog, it's not the dog's fault. It's because of what the man did. Women are the same way. Guys, the reason our women are fucking covered in tattoos and mentally ill and on medication, it's not their fault. They're dumber than the fucking dog. We've allowed them to become this because we're terrified of telling them to shut the fuck up. Because we're terrified of controlling them. And this is what happens. When you let the inmates run the asylum, which is what we white men have done by not controlling our white women, this is what you get. And it's not the women's fault that they're as fucked up as they are. It's our fault, but nonetheless, it's the women that are going to have to be stripped naked and branded and sold like cattle. Now, to get back to where I was going before I recognized that connection right there, which I didn't think of until right now. We have what I'm going to call, for the moment, because I don't have a better term for it. What I'm going to call our first generation trannies is like Bruce Jenner. Okay, Bruce Jenner, grown man, had life experience, decided he wanted to be a woman, decided he wanted to cosplay as a woman. Okay, Bruce Jenner gets some, I'm assuming he's had surgery and cut his penis off. I don't fucking know. As always, I could Google it. I don't care that much. The point is, Bruce Jenner is cosplaying as a woman. Bruce Jenner made this decision based on whatever he made it on when he was an adult. That's your first generation trannies. We are now at the point where we have moved into the second generation trannies. That's what I'm going to call them because I don't have a better term. What I mean by this is, you've got these 8-year-old kids who are deciding, well, I'm not a boy, I'm actually a girl. Except that the 8-year-old kid is not actually deciding he's a girl, not a boy, because they're 8 years old and they have no fucking idea what they're talking about. This decision is being made for them. And who's making the decision for them? Predominantly, single mothers, who are predominantly white women, who are not being controlled by white men. And so these single mothers are raising their children to be trannies. Just like the dog owner beats the dog and kicks the dog and trains the dog to attack other living animals, the single mother, she's training her 8-year-old, however old kid, 6, 8, 10. I mean, I don't know. Are we starting at 4 now? Who knows? I saw an article, I may or may not put the link to this in the show notes, about a woman, I can't even remember. I think it was her daughter. It was her kid. I can't remember if it was a boy or a girl. Not only was she having sex with her own child, she was pimping the child out to some man to have sex with. Because women love their children so much. So you've got these single mothers who are raising their children, training their children to be trannies, and everything that goes with the being of the tranny. And these children, they're going to grow up to be fucked up. And it's no fault of their own. I mean, think about this. You're a kid, and from the time you've been 8 years old, you've been told by your mother and by the public school system that there's no such thing as boys and girls, and you know, you can be whatever you want on any given day. And you've been put on all sorts of medications for your personality and hormone blockers and all this stuff. You're going to be fucked up. Now, from your perspective, you're going to think this is perfectly normal. Just like the dog thinks that being aggressive and being violent and killing, you know, I mean, killing other living things in order to eat is actually natural for a wolf. It's a little hard to dispute that part. But just like the dog thinks that being violent and aggressive towards every other living organism it encounters is natural, this little tranny kid is going to grow up thinking that being medicated, being vaxxed, oh, it's raining outside, you know, being gender fluid, you know, hating heterosexual, they're going to grow up to think all of this stuff is normal. No fault of their own. They did not choose this. Bruce Jenner chose to be a tranny. You can disagree, okay, but he did not make this decision in a vacuum. The decision was not imposed upon him by somebody who had been entrusted, by somebody who had taken on the responsibility of caring for him, right? These single mothers could have gotten abortions, but they chose, in so much as a woman is capable of choosing things because they don't have self-awareness and we don't hold them to any standards, okay? But these women made as informed of a choice as it's possible for a woman to make to assume responsibility in so much as a woman can be responsible for raising these children. And upon entering into the process of raising these children, they have tranified and medicated and vaxxed these kids into the mutated freaks that they are. And so right now today, on August the 13th, 2023, if you see, you know, like a 12-year-old kid who thinks he's a girl, like that 12-year-old kid has nothing to do with that. All of that has been imposed up on him by the single mother. Just as the dog has had the violence and the aggression imposed upon him by the owner. And here's a takeaway from all this. The dog is not at fault, but the dog still has to be euthanized because the dog cannot exist in a society. These tranny children, they're going to have to be euthanized. And once again, conservatives, oh, no, no, we can't, no. Because conservatives so desperately want to be friends with their enemies. But it's not their fault. No, it's not their fault. It's not this kid's fault. When this kid, who right now today is 12 years old and being tranified by his single mother, when he's 24 years old, no, it's not his fault. But when he's 24 years old, however many years it is from now, and you know the government has collapsed and the shifts are taking place, he's going to have to be killed. Because these tranified children cannot exist in a structured society that recognizes and operates upon objective principles like right and wrong and boy and girl. And no, they're not to blame for what's happened to them. It's been done to them. But nonetheless, in order to, if, it's a big if we, whoever the fuck we are going to save Western civilization, which we're not, this is theoretical, if we are going to save Western civilization, all of these second generation trannies, the ones who were raised to be trannies, as opposed to the ones who made a choice, an informed choice to be trannies, these second generation trannies, they're all going to have to die. And these are the sort of things no one wants to talk about except me. And actually, probably about half of my listeners as well. And the women who did this to them and the conservative men are all going to come. Well, it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It doesn't matter. It does not matter whether or not it's their fault. It's the fact that they can never be part of a functional civilization.